If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The story is fog of conflict along the American-Mexican border. Brownsville to the north, Matamoros to the south, the wandering Rio Grande, like a snake that can't make up its mind. And this incident within these last hours. Two of the four Americans who were kidnapped in northern Mexico were found dead, officials said, in a case that has sharpened the U.S. focus on insecurity across the border and the ease with which armed groups operate just yards from the Rio Grande. Evan, a very good day to you. I come to this story not only because of the loss of life and the mystery of it, but because I've read that the cartels, who are the first, second, and third suspect for this gangland behavior, shooting, kidnapping, death. The gangs are said to have avoided Americans either as kidnap victims or as murder victims because it will bring upon them the authorities in the U.S. with their helicopters, their drones, their manpower, their firepower. And also because this would move them from the conflict with the Mexican authorities, which can be strangely detente, to an outright conflict of American law enforcement, meaning they're going to get their man. So is there a reason to understand this particular incident? Is it a one-off or is it a trend? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, certainly the security situation in Mexico is getting increasingly worrisome under the policies of Andrés Manuel López Obrador or AMLO. But also what you referred to is very important to understand, which is really across Mexico, you have fighting between really what's becoming a degeneration of different armed groups and factions of what used to be a larger series of cartels. But understanding part of that is that there are key points, especially along the U.S.-Mexican border that are sometimes referred to as plazas, referring to the center of these towns, but which really refer to logistics points. And so in the Mexican state of Tamaulipas, which is where this occurred, you have three major plazas along the border. Of course, one of those plazas is Matamoros, which is right across from Brownsville on the U.S. side. And so in this particular plaza, with Tamaulipas itself really being a struggle between the elements of two larger groups, Jalisco Nueva Generacion and the old Gulf cartels and the Zetas. What's been happening specifically in Matamoros is you have a struggle between a group called the old school Zetas, who are affiliated with one side and a group called the Ciclones, which are a splinter of what used to be the Gulf cartel. What it appears to have happened, it may have been that this group of you know, visiting Americans, apparently the woman wanted to go over for a relatively less expensive tummy tuck operation on the Mexican side. But the group may have been mistaken in their relatively new minivan for Haitians or other group. There was a shootout. So it's really it was It appears to have been an unfortunate incident that's led, of course, to calls in the U.S. Congress for greater action, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the last thing that the Mexican government wants right now is U.S. action, remembering things throughout Mexican history, such as General Pershing's punitive expeditions against Pancho Villa among other parts of the history. But it does really appear to be an unfortunate mistake, reflecting just one of many different struggles between splinter groups in the many plazas that lie along the Mexico-U.S. border.
The border is also in the news because of a policy dispute in Washington between the two administrations, Mr. Trump's, Mr. Biden's. And I don't sort it out. I read from Newsweek. As a candidate, immigration, particularly running against his opponent's immigration policy, was a central plank of President Biden's appeal to the American public. And then it goes on to say that the Biden administration is now moving towards a policy that resembles the Trump policy. Now, the pandemic has left us. So what is the transformation? I won't ask why. It's politics. I understand that. But what is now and what will be proposed by the Biden administration?
Well, there are clearly just ironies on top of ironies here, John. But, first of all, of course, what happened in Matamoros illustrates just really how dangerous, that border region is because of those struggles between groups. And there have been a series up and down the border. It's not just this one. There was violence in Nuevo Laredo and another plaza back in December 2022. In Sonora, there was a Mormon family that was murdered in another case of mistaken identity near the border, et cetera, et cetera. However, into this very dangerous region, what had begun to happen is you have really an accumulation of migrants looking to get across. Now, a couple of years ago, a loophole was discovered in U.S. immigration laws in which if you ask for asylum, you get to be processed in a safe country. You don't just get sent back to Mexico or where you came from. And so as more and more people started asking for asylum, what happened under the Trump administration is in order to essentially prevent people from just overwhelming the system and going into the United States and then just disappearing and never showing up for their asylum hearings, the Trump administration put together what was called a safe third country protocols, or later asylum cooperation agreements, which said, okay, well, if you came through a country which is considered to be not where your life is at risk, you can be made to wait in that country while your asylum claim is being processed. The problem is that many people, especially on the Democratic side, saw this is inhumane, having to wait in essentially northern Mexico, that border area. The Mexicans were cooperative at the time, but Democrats especially saw this as just unworkable. Now, during COVID, and then, of course, when the Biden administration came in, they were rescued by something that had been put into place called Title 42, which basically said, for health reasons, you can still send people back to Mexico, despite the asylum laws. But with Title 42 and COVID going away, then suddenly the Biden administration, as we've talked about before, with something over 2 million migrants coming up to the border per year, many of them now asking for asylum. The question is, what did they do to just keep more and more immigrants from disappearing into the United States? And so there's an irony of two policy changes that a now desperate Biden administration is looking into. One is basically resurrecting detention centers in the United States instead of just releasing people in. Again, it's just something that's being looked into. And another is resurrecting a version of looking at Mexico or others as a safe third country. So if you transit a third country, you could be obliged to stay there rather than just being released into the United States. And so, again, it's ironic that in this very polemic situation that the Biden administration is being kind of forced to try to relook at some of the things that they so criticized the Trump administration for having done with respect to border management.
According to one report, according to Reuters, the Biden administration is, quote, also considering reviving arrests of migrant families in the U.S., who have been ordered deported. That would be very controversial, Evan. We can agree. I can remember the stories from the 20th century about, what did they say, La Migre? And there would be a scramble. It was a very sad turn of affairs. People were working in a plant or a factory or a fast food chain in California, as I recall. And suddenly there would be a raid and one or two people would be grabbed. And then start the process all over again. A detail about the border disputes. The Global South Evan. We've talked about this before. In Europe, it's a new theme to describe why it is that so many nations, Africa, South America, throughout Eurasia, are not committing themselves in the Ukraine conflict, which the Europeans see as existential. But India and Brazil notably do not. The Global South also includes the theme in Europe that this is part of climate change, that people are being dislocated by the changes of the seasons, of their water, of their food security. Is that a part of the story that you've witnessed at the Mexican border, that this isn't about greed or dependence? It's about looking for arable land where the village that was sustaining this population is no longer adequate.
What's certainly a dimension, John? Of course, generations, we've had migrants from places that were in less good economic conditions with higher levels of violence, coming to the United States. Mexicans and some, under official programs like the Braceros program, to work in the U.S. But others, for example, fleeing the wars in Central America, coming up to places like Los Angeles in the late 1990s, et cetera, et cetera. And so this has been going on for quite some time. But certainly, one of the observations is that one of the effects of global warming is to increase the severity of climate events. Now, that includes hurricanes, which would displace people from their livelihoods in places like the Caribbean and Central America. That includes both droughts and flooding. And so basically, as global sea temperatures rise, you have some places in which, because of those changes in water temperatures, you have an exaggerated La Nina phenomenon. And so you have in some places droughts, in other places flooding, et cetera. So the things that we've talked about in the show previously with respect to the wildfires in Chile, the droughts in Argentina, which is devastating that crop there. So all these things, certainly the droughts that we saw in Honduras and other parts of Central America, these things are all believed to expand farther the devastating conditions that are brought about by economic mismanagement and violence in gangs and other things. It's certainly not the only cause, but there is a reasonable argument to say that climate change is accelerating these difficulties, just like people that are fleeing the war in Syria and going across the Med in Europe aren't necessarily fleeing just climate change. But you can argue that drought conditions in the Sahel and Sierra in the Sahara are making bad situations worse.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're headed for the Falkland Islands. I'm John Bash.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.